Good morning, everybody. How we doing? We're going to talk a little bit about that very thing that Brad just spoke of, and it's the idea of what it is to, first of all, what it is to get your microphone on your belt. We're going to talk a little bit about what it is to live this life out, what it is what it is to walk as Jesus walked, and to live the life that he has made for us, guiding us on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean? It means the expression of his person in us, born in us, and the fruit of the Spirit coming out from us because he has made us what it is. And then the promise of God to protect us and his faithfulness in it right through eternity. What I want to do real quick is I'm going to read one verse. It's not going to be up on the screen for you. I'm going to read one verse that kind of sets this whole thing up for us. So you're going to need your Bible, or grab your gadget. We're going to be in 1 John 2 just for a moment, and then we're going to go back to John. So here we go. So we're in 1 John 2. We're going to look at verse 6. I'm going to pray before we start. Father, we thank you for your word. Just bless it to our hearts. May this be fresh, just fresh manna for us this morning. May this be fresh, a fresh expression of your mercy. May we engage with it in a fresh way. May we allow it, Lord, to not only enter into our brains, our minds, as to dwell on it intellectually or academically or practically, but Lord, let it seep into our hearts so it would change us and transform our hearts, that our spirits would be connected with yours in such a way as to together, as we cooperate with your spirit, as we submit ourselves to him, that he would work through us. We pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. So verse 6 says this, says whoever claims to live in Jesus must walk as Jesus did. So the actual verse says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as he did. And so the idea here is this, and it's something we want to make sure we're clear on. If those of us who claim to walk with Jesus, the expression of that, the reality of it, the confirmation of it, the speaking of it more than our words is that we would walk. Think about walking the way somebody walks. Think about what it is to walk, what it is to engage in such a way as to do life together, travel together, to walk together, the conversations that arise, the pondering that occurs, the questions that go back and forth, and then the manner with which we walk. Walking as Jesus walked means to do what Jesus did the way Jesus did it. And that's what we're called to do. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to go back to John chapter 1 because I want us to see a couple different things. I want us to, how is it that we learn to walk as Jesus walked? How is it that this happens? And what I want us to do is I want us to first and foremost see, he says walk as Jesus walked. Who is Jesus? Who is he? And certainly we can speak of the historical figure and we can speak about him being the Son of God and we can speak about him being the Messiah. We can speak about him being the Savior of the world. And all that is true. But who is Jesus? When it says must walk as Jesus walked, the idea is more than that he had these mantles, these titles. The Prince of Peace, yes. The Messiah, yes. The Savior of the world, yes. The Son of God, yes. The Son of David, yes. All of that gives us reference for who he is. The fact of the matter is to know Jesus is to know the person of Christ, not just his titles, not just his roles, not even his responsibilities, but to know him in relationship. When we walk with someone, we are building a relationship. We're cultivating heart to heart. So what I want us to do is I just want us to focus on the person of Christ. This is an incredibly familiar text. This is not the first time we've been in it, but we're going to concentrate on something in particular. So read with me. This is John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word is not the scriptures in this context. The Word is the person of Jesus. It is the very words of, the very voice of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so now we're seeing the Trinity come into form. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Father, and his glory. And he was God as the same. He was with God in the beginning, all the way back before time began. Through him, the Word, all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. So in God, in Christ, in the Word, in Jesus himself, was life. Outside of him, nothing, no life exists. He is life, the essence of life and the spark of life. He is life. Verse 4, in him was life, and that life, listen, was the light of all mankind. And so the life of God, as man was made in his image, man's eyes certainly were illumined to see that which was around him, but more than that, his heart was illumined, light was cast in order for him to be able to see God, to experience life, not just being animated, but to experience life with the maker, the creator. And it is the life of God, the light of God, that sheds light onto this. So he goes on in verse 5 to say just that. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness cannot overwhelm it. The darkness cannot stand up against it. The darkness cannot stop it. So as the light shines into the darkness cannot take it and use it for its own purposes. Think about that for a minute. The darkness itself cannot use it or manipulate it. But in fact, the light shines in it and will not be overcome by it. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light. So he came as a human, as a prophet, filled with the Spirit of God upon him to declare to people who walked in darkness, there is a light coming. Now listen to this. He says, there was a man sent from God. His name is John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, to say there is a light that will come, so that through him, the light, all might believe. He himself, John, was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. So he was not there to bring the light or be the light, but prepare the way for the light and to prepare the hearts of men to be able to receive it. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So this true light, that is the essence of light, that's the radiance of light, it is the source of light, gives light to everyone who is coming into the world. I'm going to stop there for a minute. I want to look at that for a minute. What is the question we might want to ask ourselves right here is this. What is light? Well, first and foremost, the light is the truth. It is the truth. So Jesus says later in the text, in John 18, he says, the one who hears my voice, right? The one who hears my voice in response is the one who knows the truth. Look what it says here. The light itself is the truth. But what's it the truth of? It's the truth of God. It's the truth of his person. It's the truth of his intentions. It's the truth of his making. It's the truth of his creation. It is the truth. What is the light? It is to say to humanity, you are not, although you might be the pinnacle of creation, you yourself are a creature, and you're under the dominion of the Creator. And the Creator is sovereign over all things. And the Creator loves you and has made you for his purposes. And his purposes is that you would know him and take pleasure in him as he takes pleasure in you. And you will do this through the one I have sent who does what? Who reveals the light. So what is the light? It is the truth of God. He is the source of light and life. He radiates. Now I'm going to read in Hebrews chapter 1 for a moment. And the writer of Hebrews expresses this in just a beautifully poetic form. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors, generation after generation, through the prophets, much like John the Baptist, at many times and in various ways. God speaking through mankind to let them know who he was and what he was going to accomplish. So in the past, God spoke to his ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. He's not only speaking, the prophets who speak to the light were preparing the way for the light. And now the Son is the light. And what has he come to do? He has come to reveal to mankind, reveal to his creation, reveal to all God loves, the light of God, the truth of God. So in the past, God spoke to his ancestors, to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. God who Jesus who by whom everything was made, to whom everything was made, for whom everything was made. God the Father appointed him, the Son, to be the heir of all things, that all things would be to him. And through whom so these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heirs of all things, and through whom the Son he has also made the universe. The Son is the radiance. Listen to this. The Son is the radiance or the light of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So as the Son entered into the into relationship with mankind, what he was doing, just as John 1 was stating, he was the light and he was bringing the light. And he was the expression of God's light and life. In him was life, and that life would be the light of men. In other words, here's the truth of who God is. Here's the truth of who you are. Here's the truth of who you are to God. Here's the truth that I bring for the purpose of reconciling you to God. And I am, says Hebrews. Now I'm speaking in the first person as Jesus would speak. I am the radiance of God's glory. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. And listen, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word, holding all things together by the spoken word, which is exactly what we're seeing in John 1. And then after he had provided purifications for sins, he now sits at the right hand of majesty in heaven. So the first thing I want us to see is this. When we see that Jesus is the light, and that light is the life of men, what I want us to see is the truth of who he is as God, who God is. God is all light and life radiate from him. It is an expression of his being. He cannot not bring light and life. Darkness cannot overcome it, neither can it manipulate it. But there's something else I want us to see. And that is this. In verse 10 it says this. Or verse 9, it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming to the world. And he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, he did not recognize it. What I want us to do is I want us to see this. There are two different words, light, there in verse 9. Take a look at it again with me. Verse 9 says this. The true light, which is the exact same word that's been used up to this point through the chapter. And that is the expression of God. That light is the description of God's very nature, his character, and what emanates from him. Life would not exist cannot exist outside of God, other than that which he gives. Now look what it says again in verse 9. That light, the true light that what's the next phrase? That gives light to everyone. That light is a different word in the Greek. And this is what I want us to see. As much as Jesus was the radiance of God and a perfect representation of him. Colossians says that the Father was pleased to dwell in the person of Christ. This is what I want us to see. Light cannot help but come from God. Life cannot help but come from God. He is self-existent. He has always been. And what Jesus came to do was to make sure for us to see that, to illuminate, to let us see that this is true. On top of that, then, he imparted that to mankind. So if we go back to Genesis, and it says where Adam is laying on the ground, and they're having this discussion about Adam coming to life, it says that he breathed life into Adam. As he formed him, he breathed light and life into Adam. He animated him. He put his self-existent life in us. What is it? Let's take that into consideration for a moment. What is it to know God? It is to know his life and light. What does that mean? That he expresses himself to us in light and life. That he reveals himself to us. Romans 1 says that all of creation, his invisible qualities, God can be seen. In other words, anything that has light and life is an expression of the breath of God. So what do I want us to see in this? What does he want us to see in this? That Jesus was the manifestation of God. He was the divine light that revealed and imparted life. And who are we then? Well, we've been made in the image of God, having his life breathed into us. In Christ, we have now been born again through him. Having been born again, he now creates us as new creatures, new creations in Christ. To do what? To walk with him as he walked. So if we look at that last part of John 1:9, when it says, this light gives light. What is the idea here? It is God sharing his life and exposing and overcoming our darkness. Overcoming our ignorance. Overcoming our prejudice. What this light does, when he sheds his light on us and that light gives us light, it inspires us, it permeates us, it touches us, it impregnates us as we receive it. With the light or the knowledge of God and his saving intentions in Christ. In other words, we see God not just as some distant old sage that just set things in motion and now is impersonal and cold. No, what did Jesus come to do? He came to reveal to us the heart of the Father. Everything we love in Jesus, everything we see him do, everything we hear him say, the compassion that he, the mercy, the faith, the grace, the desire to correct, to instruct, the desire to bring health and life, the desire to bring healing, all of that is an expression of the Father. As the Father and Son are one, they express themselves in light and life. And what did Jesus come to do? He came to say that to all of us who were walking in darkness, all of us who were distant from God, all of us who were afraid, all of us who were captive, all of us, he was saying, listen, here is God. Let me shed light on him. Let me show you the radiance of his glory. Let me then permeate you with it. Receive from me the truth that God is God, yes, but God is creator and he's Father. And he's daddy, and he knows you, and he longs to be with you, and he calls you by name. That's what I want you to see. It is not merely that he is this overarching power, but in fact, he is a loving father. And I am your brother. And I've come here to meet you, and to have mercy on you, and to draw you back to the one who has made you, and longs to bury you again, that you would be a new creation in me. I want that. I want it personally. I want you to want it personally. Let me illumine your heart. Let me light it up. Let me give you life. See, that's what Jesus is speaking of here. And he says, I will overcome, I will expose what's in you that is driving you to destruction. I will expose what's in you that's condemning you to separation from me. I will expose what is in you that is keeping you from the fullness of what I've made you to be. I will show that to you. And I will show that to you not to point my finger at you and judge you and to condemn you. I will show you that because you stand condemned and I want to save you by grace. I will show you that because I want to rescue you from it. But I don't want to just pull you out. I want you to join me in the pulling. I want you to see it and I want you to long for me. I think about what Jesus did. Think about what he's done in each of our lives. Think about how he sheds light in our heart to reveal to us the things that are condemning us. Not that we would then stand condemned, but that we might hand it over to him, that we would be forgiven, that we would be made new. He overcomes our darkness, our ignorance of God as Father, our ignorance as Jesus as Savior, our ignorance as Jesus our brother. He's come to overcome that. He has shed light on that to reveal that to us. He wants to give us true understanding of what life is, and that is to walk in the glory and the radiance of the Father. So if we go on and we finish that last part of the text, this is what I want us to see. Verse 9, it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So he came into the darkness. He shed light. He expressed the radiance of God, but they were having trouble seeing it and recognizing it. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Listen, yet to all who did receive him, all who would take the light, allow it to expose what it is that was in them, to then come to God for forgiveness and reconciliation, to those who believed in his name, he gave now the right to become children of God. Children of light and life, children born not of natural descent or a human decision or husband's will, but born of God. So the Word became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. The Word came in mercy. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The gift of light and life, the revelation of what is inside the man, the darkness that is there to expose it. And again, not to be punitive, but to say, no, this is killing you. I've used this illustration before. If I'm not feeling well and I'm fatigued and all of a sudden my appetite is gone and I'm having difficulty moving and going about my business, and I continue in that, and I see all the warning signs, and somebody might say to me, dude, is there something inside you that's like unhealthy? And I just kind of blow it off. That's the first spark of truth. That's the first light shed on the possibility. If it continues on, somebody might say to me, listen, dude, you need to go get an examination. You need to go. So I go to a physician, and what happens? He asks me questions. I tell him what's happening. I shed a little bit more light on what's going on. He maybe changes my diet. He gives me some meds. He tweaks some things. Over time, it continues to happen. I go back to my physician. He says, well, not enough light has been shed yet. Let's do some x-rays. Let's do an MRI. Let's do a CAT scan. Let's see what's inside there. What are they doing? They're shedding light. On what? On the thing that's condemning me, the thing that's killing me, the thing that's stealing my life, the thing that's causing my light to dim, the thing that's causing me to not have vision for life and what it is that I could be. So I go in and I have all my exams done, and all of a sudden they say, listen, you've got a tumor the size of a basketball inside your chest. Nah, no. And I walk away. They've done everything they can to expose what's inside of me, to tell me this is what's going on, and there is somebody who can save your life if you're willing to submit, if you're willing to receive it. There is somebody who can not only save your life, but give you life, and in that life, create more light for you, because it gives you a vision for coming. Then I have a choice in that moment. Do I go to the great physician? Do I go to the physician to have it removed? And now we're talking physical terms. Jesus is expressing this in what? In spiritual, eternal terms. He is saying that tumor inside of your body on which doctors and technicians are trying to shed light to be able to save your life is an earthly expression of a kingdom truth. And that there is something inside of you that causes you to just continue to atrophy and to descend and to that just condemns your life and light. It makes you unable to see. And I don't want you to be ignorant of it. So I'm going to stand here as light, as life. I'm going to speak truth. The truth is your Father loves you. The creator of the universe desires your attention. I'm going to shed light on the thing that is keeping you from him. Will you allow me to eradicate it? Will you allow me to remove it? Will you take from me my light and life and hand to me the tumor of death that resides inside of you? Will you let me do it? That is exactly what it is that Jesus is doing. And I just lost my notes. There we go. That's exactly what Jesus is looking to do spiritually for us. And so when he came to as the light to shed light, he was the very essence of light, the source of light. He is the source of life itself. And he is saying, I want to give you life. So let my light shine in you. Now I'm going to have to, I don't know what I just did. Why are my notes not wanting to come back up? Ruh-roh. Okay, so I'm going to go to the text here. What's the next text? It's John 1, then what? You can say it out loud. It's okay. So we're in John 1, then John 3, right? Okay, awesome. I got it. All right, so this is what we're going to do. We're in John 3 now, and I want us to see how all this comes. So John 1, again, familiar text, but if we need to look at it in the context as it is, and what we're looking at doing is we're looking at the person of Jesus and what it is he came to do and what it is to have a relationship with him and what his intentions were. What his intentions were in making sure that we have this relationship, what he did to accomplish it. And so in John 1, we end that with, there my notes came up, finally. All right. So in John 1, what do we see? It says then in verse 14, the Word became flesh. He did not merely stay in the heavens and just point fingers and do this back and forth. He joined us in the midst of our stuff. He took a body upon himself and he dwelt among us. He showed us mercy. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. He goes on to say in verse 15, John now concerning him cried out, this is the one I spoke of. He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was for me. And out of his fullness, we will receive grace in place of grace already given. So we have the grace of having life itself. Life, we have, just by being alive, God has given us grace. And what is that grace? Think about this. That he has given us a relationship with the Creator God, who is awesome and glorious. Gave mankind life to be able to enjoy God, to take pleasure in him and with him. that God loved his relationship with himself so much, he said, I want somebody else to be a part of this with me. And so he's saying, listen, that's grace. The fact that we're even alive, that to even know God exists, is grace. But there's a grace that surpasses that grace. And that's what John is saying here. Out of the fullness we have received all, we have all received grace in place of a grace already given. So the life that we were given just to be alive and to be animated and have the spark of light and life in us because we've been made by God and he has breathed into us is replaced by a greater grace, which is the redemption of us, that the sin that would condemn me and keep me from eternally walking with God, he now eradicates, and in Christ Jesus he gives us now a spiritual life, an eternal life. For the law was given through Moses, which was grace, the grace to show us, to reveal to us the thing that was inside of us, grace and truth, the redemption of that, the removal of that, the healing of that came through Jesus. And listen to this. And no one has ever seen God. Why did the light have to come? To reveal God. Why? Because no one had ever seen him. We've seen him manifest. We see his expression. We see how he reveals himself to us, but we've never seen God. And so you know what Jesus came to do? He came to shed light on God, who is life and is light, and to connect us to him. So he says in verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who himself is God and is in closest relationship with the Father. He has now made him known, which is what we just read in Colossians. He is the radiance and the perfect representation of the Father. And God are in Hebrews. And then in Colossians it says that God the Father was pleased to dwell the person of Christ. That the whole Trinity would express light and life to mankind and draw man to himself. That's what God did. That's what light is. That's why we desperately need to see that. So the idea is the light shines in the darkness. The darkness could not overcome it. There were those who would not receive it because they loved their ways. But those who would receive it are now given the right not only to be the creation of God, but now the children of God. So the one question we might want to ask ourselves is, what is it to walk in darkness? Well, we just saw that. No one has seen God. No one has seen him. No one has had a relationship with him other than to experience the expression of who he is through life. Certainly, you know, tangible and physical life and light. But we're ignorant of divine things. We're ignorant of the fact that we can be his children. Ignorant of what? What his intentions are. And because of that, we walk in misery and sin and the consequences of that sin. We walk with minds that have difficulty seeing beyond our appetites. We stumble over the person of Jesus in submitting to him. It's difficult for us to ascertain what is right and what is just and what is fair. And Jesus said, when you think you have light and it's dark, you don't actually know God, yet you think you do, that truly is darkness. In other words, you are self-deceived. What did Jeremiah say? The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can cure it? It is only when God allows his... He says, God goes on to say, I will examine the heart. I will examine the mind. I will shed light on what is going on inside of you. I will share truth with you. Then James says to believers, he says, now live this out in this way. As Jeremiah said, I will examine you. I will test your thoughts. I will test your mind. I will show you the deception and I will shed light on it so that you can repent. He later says, I will put a spirit in you that is inclined toward me. I will give you a new heart. That heart of stone I will get rid of, and I will give you a heart of flesh. God said, I will do these things. I will reveal to you the things that keep you separate, that are condemning you, that are causing you to not be able to see and even be self-deceived, and I will replace them. James says, after you come to faith, this is what I want to make sure you do. Don't just be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Don't think that because you've done this, this, and this in a religious aspect that somehow you've earned merit with God. No, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. So now go to John 3, if you would. As God illumines what's in our heart, that is a loving expression. Light shined into the darkness. John 3 puts it this way. We're going to start at verse 16. For God so loved the world. This is a really important text to just gloss over, as familiar as it is. For God so loved the world. Earlier in John 1, he said he came to those which were his own, which he meant the Jews, and they would not receive him. So he went on to give the gospel, to shed light on all mankind, that anyone who would receive him had the right to become a child of God. Jesus gave them the right to become the child of God. Why did he do it? Because he so loved the world. The world walked in darkness, under the veil of ignorance, under the oppression of sin, and the ruler of the sinful. God came into, through mercy, Jesus brought the radiance of the Father among us and shed light on all of that to dispel the darkness, to reveal to us that which was killing us, to expose in us the things that were condemning us. And he said, listen, I've not done this to be punitive. I've not done this to condemn you. You might feel condemned in this sense. You see it, and now you feel the weight of it. But that's not for condemnation's sake. That's for repentance's sake. That's for salvation's sake. That's for you to see and to know there's nothing you can do about it, but I love you so much that I will do something about it. So he says, now, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but now have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, to shed light on sin, and then say, now, see, you're dead. No, but to save the world through him. So whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever receives from him, whoever allows the light to come in to expose and then bring that exposure to the physician to be handled. Whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Why? Because they will not let the physician remove the tumor. So they're condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. They don't believe in the hands of the physician who has not come to show our sin, that we would feel this condemnation, shame, and guilt, but that we would run to him for what? For healing. See, here's the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light. Why? Because they love who they are. They love what they're doing. The light sheds light on it. And instead of coming to the physician to have it removed, they harbor it and they love it and they cling to it. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. They don't want them removed. Verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth, whoever sees the light, allows the light to illumine them, recognizing whose God is and who they are, recognizing the holiness and the righteousness of God and their own sinfulness, then the grace of the mercy of God who meets us in the midst of that sin and doesn't treat us as our sin deserves, but instead treats us with compassion, and then sheds grace on us and the truth that he wants us to be his children. But whoever lives by that truth comes into the light. Why? Because now they see a heavenly Father, not this overarching angry God. They see that they stand condemned, and that this one refuses to condemn them. They see that God is not standing here as a punitive judge waiting to just drop a hammer on the head of all sinners. But no, he has sent his Son into the world to shed light on what's actually happening in the hearts of men, that we may be saved. That's his desire. He so loved the world that he sent his Son. Verse 21 again. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. They allow themselves to be exposed more and more. First and foremost, to see the sin and the darkness of that sin, the sin and the depth of mankind, and then in particular, each believer's heart, or each person's heart, to do what? To draw it out. To draw it out. So whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. That the things that are being done in them are done by God in the sight of God for all the world to see. That this person who stood condemned and was in darkness, who was willing to stand in the light of God, the merciful, gracious, loving light of God, and have what was in them exposed, and then present themselves to God to have that removed through Christ, and to have them placed in them, removing that tumorous heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh, removing the spirit of sin and darkness with the spirit of righteousness and life. That is the surgical procedure. That is why the light comes. He is saying, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to. And as believers, we have a responsibility to live this out. 1 John chapter 2, and then we're going to close this up. So this is John, the same author, who's now later in life, looking back on his walk with Jesus. Verse 1 says this. He says, my dear children, Those of you who have the same faith I do, those of you who have been adopted by the Father just as I have, those of you with whom I am a co-heir with Christ, my dear children, my loved ones, my dear ones, my precious ones, my cherished ones. This is God the Father speaking through an elder, John, to the children. I write this to you so that you will not sin, that you will not fall short of the life of Christ in you and the righteousness that is born in you. But if you do sin, if somehow you miss the mark, if somehow in as you walk through the day, it does not reflect everything that you desire to be in Christ Jesus. It doesn't reflect the goodness that he has made you to be. So listen, my dear children, I write this to you so you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer. We have an attorney. We have a defense attorney who stands with the Father, an advocate with the Father who stands there before him. And this is Jesus, the righteous one. Jesus, who's not only righteous, but who is our righteousness. Jesus defends us every time and says to the Father, no, I cover him. He's mine. I got him. He's ours. See, he is the atoning sacrifice. He is the one who took upon himself our sin, paid that price, and applied it to our lives. And so he now stands before the Father and said, I paid for this one. This one is mine. He has received from me what I've offered. I've given him the right to be your child. Father, keep him. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but listen to this, for the sins of the whole world. The sin of anyone and everyone who will come to him and allow that light to reveal what is in them that has caused them to stand condemned, that God desires to reveal and now walk with to remove, that Jesus would do such a thing. Verse 3, how is this lived out? We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. We know that the light that he has shined on us has done what it's done when it begins to now shine through us. By what? By our recognizing that not only is God God and he's loving, but his commands are an expression of that love and life. So whoever says I know him but does not do what he commands, John says he's a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, if anyone sees those commands and begins to live them out in such a way as to express that goodness, love for God is truly made complete in them. It comes to completion. It runs the full circuit. This is how we know we are in him. This is how we can be confident. Whoever claims to live in him must do what? Live as Jesus did, or walk as Jesus walked. We must love the way Jesus loved. Now, perfectly, no. That's why at the beginning it says, if you do sin, there's one who stands. Listen, we're not going to do, this is not about perfection. This is about love. This is about a relationship. This is about moving forward over and over and again, exposing ourselves to the light of God, that he would reveal it to us, anything that, confirm that we are his children, affirm the actions that reflect that, and then reveal to us those things in us that are not yet like Jesus, that are causing us to behave in a way that doesn't reflect the very person that we are in Christ Jesus. So he says, dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command. We are to walk as Jesus walked, and I'm going to command you as to how we should do that. And that is this, verse 8. Its truth is seen in him and in you, and that is this. Anyone who claims to be in the light, who has had God's life and light revealed to them, shown in them, and now has transformed them, but hates his brother or sister, detests them, or holds them in contempt, is still in darkness. I don't even know if that he's saying they're not a Christian, but what he is saying is they have yet to allow the light of God and the life of God to express, to expose what's in them that is causing them to hold their brothers and sisters in contempt. And this is really important, especially today, because we have a lot of brothers and sisters at odds with one another. We have a lot of people that are just, they're holding each other in contempt. That's not life and light, not of Christ. And so what he's saying is, let me expose that in you. Look in the mirror of the Word of God. Allow it to examine you. Allow it to expose what's in you. Allow it to, as it comes to the top, to heat it up, to skim it off. Come to me that you would be more and more like me. It says, anyone who claims to be in the light hates his brother or sister is still in darkness. But anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light. And there is nothing in them to make them stumble. There's nothing in them that would cause them to waffle, to trip over the person of Jesus. But anyone who hates his brother or sister, despises them or detests them or holds them in contempt, anyone who hates that way is in darkness and walks around in darkness. They have not seen the light. They're for whatever reason, they have not actually seen God for who he is. They've not seen Jesus for who he is. They've not seen the two of them as to what they're doing. They don't understand the Holy Spirit and what he's trying to achieve. They don't understand the fruit of the Spirit as it comes from us. These people do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. What do we do then? We must expose ourselves to Jesus by his word, prayer, fellowship. We must look at the person of Christ and dwell and meditate on his radiance. See that he is the light in life. Allow him to examine our hearts. Allow him inside to reveal to us those things that need to be removed, that need to be trimmed away, that need to be pruned. Why? We'll close with this. John 9. While I am in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But something very interesting happened as his ministry moved forward, and it comes out of Matthew. He then said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But then he would say this, now you are the light of the world. You who know me, you who have had the light shed on them, who recognize what it is to dispel the ignorance of who God is this overarching and overwhelming power, but instead is a loving Father who's merciful and gracious. You are now you who have received that. You now are the light of the world. You carry me forward. And understand this, that the town built on a hill cannot be hidden, and I am placing you there. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Do not be ashamed. Instead, they put it on its stand. They live their life in such a way as to express the light and the life that is in them through Christ Jesus, and it gives light to everyone in the house. It exposes everything that's there that needs to be cleaned, needs to be dealt with, needs to be repaired, needs to be eradicated. Our lives now do this, not in a condemning way or judging way. How did Jesus do it? He shed light as to remove those things. How are we to do it? We are to walk as that light, to expose the sin of men, not in judgment, not in pointing fingers, not in shame and guilt, but to say there is one who can heal you. There is one who can bring you life. There is one who is the light and life of who you are, and you're alive because of God's grace, but now you could be his child by the expression of that grace, the reality of that grace, the realization of that grace. So in the same way, verse 16, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father. That the light that is in you is the light of the Father and it brings glory to him. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your graces, your love, your mercy. We thank you for the incredible gift of the light and life of just having been made in your image, let alone then having the Son come in mercy and say, I don't want you to just meander around this world breathing and being animated. I want you to delight in me as I delight in you. And I want to take from you the things that are condemning you and causing destruction and wreaking havoc and destroying what I've made you to be. So come to me and let me make you a new creation, a new creature. Let my Father create you in Christ Jesus, in me, that you would reflect me. I was the light in this world while it was here. Now I have shed that light in you, to you, and now through you by my spirit, by my character, by my faithfulness, by my persistence, by my mercy, my grace, my love, as expressed through you to a dying world. And they'll know that by how you treat one another. Do not despise the brotherhood. Lord, forgive us when we hold in contempt our brothers and sisters. Forgive us when we are impatient and intolerant of those people who for whatever reason, are in a completely different place we are. And may we be drawn to the center, and that is you, Jesus, standing right here in the aisle. And may our lives glorify you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.